and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I hereby bring to order the annual meeting of the Church of our Redeemer. Today's gospel passage is quite astonishing in its simplicity and its brevity. Jesus calls the disciples, and they simply pick up and follow him without any idea of where they're going or what they will be doing or how they are going to get there. I can't help notice the parallels to where we were a year ago, taking on a capital campaign, with perhaps the same lack of knowledge of what we were getting into. What the disciples do know, though, is that they are following Jesus' call and living into his mission for them. And this is so compelling and so important to them that they're willing to walk away from what they know and step forward into the unknown. We also, this year, have gone on a journey of stepping forward into God's future, a future that we can't quite see yet, even if we do have some carpet samples downstairs, but a future that you all have found compelling and important and worth supporting. So thank you for listening to that call. I want to especially say thank you to our vestry leaders. I also always think this year's vestry is the best vestry ever. But what a great team this year. And Tony, and Elizabeth, and Kevin, and Lance, and Marietta, and Frank, and George. We are going to miss you a lot as you become vestry members emeritus. And George also had a key role this year, along with Chris Needham, as the co-chairs of our Realizing Our Vision campaign. And we owe them a huge debt of thanks for all the time and effort they put into making the campaign smooth and successful. So thank you for that. I remember a few years back, Bishop Tom Shaw had come here on his visitation, and he had lunch with the vestry. At that lunch was the first time that I ever heard anyone float the idea of maybe, possibly, someday doing a capital campaign, which might or might not have something to do with the Great Hall. And someone asked Bishop Shaw what he thought we could raise. And he said in his, you know, offhanded, super confident, slightly annoying way that he had, oh, at least $1 million. This was greeted universally by disbelieving stares. And after the bishop left, the consensus was more like, okay, maybe 200,000, 250,000 if we're really lucky. Well, I think Bishop Tom is probably smiling down on us right now, because we came a lot closer to his number than we did to our number. So what have we learned from all of this? First, I think that we've learned that we are more powerful and more capable than perhaps we thought that we were. We sometimes think of ourselves as a little church, but we're really not. Redeemer members are often surprised when I tell them of about the 200 churches in our diocese. We're in the top 20, 25 in terms of size, which is to say there's 175 churches smaller than us. People outside of Redeemer do not see us as a small church. And I think the heart and soul of this church are even bigger than the size of it. So let's remember our success this year and keep in mind that we are really capable of doing big things. We are capable of imagining something and accomplishing it. This time it's a building project, but perhaps next time it's a mission project or a spiritual growth effort. We're capable of a lot more than perhaps we think that we are. So let's keep dreaming big and not letting our hesitations or doubts stop us from following God's call to try new things. Another thing I think that we've learned is that we're valued by our Lexington community, and that what we do here is noticed more and has a bigger impact on our community than perhaps we realize. I don't think that when we started the Realizing Our Vision campaign, we expected groups outside the church to give towards it. But we did receive a grant from the Dana Home Foundation and from the food pantry because they believe in and agree with what we're doing. People know that we're committed to helping our community through the food pantry, through the Patriots Day pancake breakfast, and in so many other ways. And they are aware of that. And this year, especially with the Lift Up Lexington effort to help the homeless families in Lexington, which so many Redeemer members have been involved in, people around town have taken notice. When I walk into the town offices these days, people say, "Oh, you're from that church. That's the one with the food pantry, right? That's helping the homeless?" Redeemer is an important part of the fabric of our town in ways we may not always realize, but this campaign and the positive reaction to it have made more clear. And we need to continue to live into that and live up to that, so that when you walk into your office, or maybe it's a PTA meeting or a town group, people will say to you, "Oh, you're from that church." And I think a third thing that we've learned is that we have a deep desire to be a welcoming faith community that reaches out in service to others. In every conversation that we've had about why we wanted to have this capital campaign and why we think we need a renovated Great Hall, the answer has always been so we can welcome new people into this community, to journey with them and serve them. From newcomers on Sunday morning to the homeless moms playgroup, to the AA groups that meet here, to the food pantry guests every Saturday. It's come up again and again. Our desire is to be able to use this space to do the ministry that God is calling us to. So today, we can celebrate and, as I said last week, rest on our laurels for a day. Because we know that it's not time to sit back and say, "Hey, that was a great capital campaign. We finished doing the mission of the church." Because the new, fully accessible Great Hall is not the mission of the church. What we use it for, who we invite into it, how we renew and heal ourselves in the gathered community in it, how we use it as a springboard for launching ourselves and our children into the world. That's the mission of the church. Jesus called the first apostles into ministry by saying, "Come and fish for people." Fish for people. That's probably not the favorite Bible verse of most Episcopalians. We do tend to be fairly diffident about sharing our faith with others, to sharing how much our church means to us. Maybe we say, "Oh, I don't want to brag about my church. I'm sure one church is much like another." Well, I don't think so. I'll tell you, I went to a lot of churches on my sabbatical. This is the best one. I'm sure that other churches do great work, but we shouldn't be ashamed to say what we do on Sunday morning is pretty fantastic, and others should know about it. God is also calling us to fish for people, to be the light of Christ in the world, an example of God's kingdom, a witness to Christ. This call to be a witness to Christ is not just to us as individuals, but to us as a community, to be the kind of community that reflects God's kingdom of justice and mercy and forgiveness and love to all. Not just those who happen to walk through our doors, but to those outside it as well. So I wonder if we can dream together in this coming year about how we can be a more welcoming and witnessing community, to invite others into our new Great Hall and also go out from there and serve. A lot of us might have negative reactions to this Bible story, to the idea of being fishers for people, because we associate it with the negative aspects of Christian culture. And you know other people do too. As long as Christians are known by those outside the church as those who fight, those who exclude, those who judge others, we're not going to be able to complete the mission that God has given us to do. And we may think of this as something only those annoying evangelicals do. We're Episcopalians. We accept everyone, right? But you know, it's not always the case. A good friend of mine once moved to a new area, and as an Episcopalian, she was looking for a new church. She joined one that will remain nameless, and one of the first things she did was volunteer to help with coffee hour. That's one of the first things you do, right, when you come to a new church. She really wanted to make a good impression. She worked really hard on making a tray of finger sandwiches, and she arranged it very. She put a lot of thought into how she arranged those sandwiches. And she brought it to church on Sunday and presented it to the lady in charge of coffee hour, who proceeded to look at it, sigh, and rearrange all the sandwiches. Needless to say, my friend is now attending a different church. We can scoff and laugh and say, that would never happen at Redeemer. But let's remember that to that lady, how the sandwiches were arranged was very important to her church experience. It was something she really valued. So what part of our church experience that we might really value might be getting in the way of someone else even getting their foot in the door to hear the gospel? Whatever that is, can we let go of it, even if it is important to us? Can we realize our personal preferences are not as important as sharing the good news with others? We have worked so hard to get rid of the physical barriers to coming into this church. We will have a new elevator and we will be fully handicap accessible. We need to be sure that we're also getting rid of emotional or social or spiritual barriers to coming into our church. God calls us to be a church that is outward focused, not inward focused. And I think we're already pretty darn good at that. That's one of the things that makes Redeemer the best church I know. But it is a constant process of turning towards the other that never really ends until the other becomes Christ for us. And when we're able to do that for those who come into our doors, we can also do that for those who are still outside our doors. Maybe there are homeless families in Waltham that need the same loving care that we were able to show the families in Lexington. Maybe there are families here in Lexington that aren't homeless but are in need and could use a hot meal served by friendly people in a beautiful new great hall. I learned recently there are 750 families in Lexington living below the poverty line. As long as there's anyone in our community who needs a friend or a helping hand, we still have work to do, work that our new hall can help us do. So Andrew and Peter and James and John left their regular lives and work in order to follow Jesus and do what he was calling them to, because it was so compelling and so important, it was worth giving up what they had done previously, what they had previously thought was important. The work of God that we do in this place is so compelling and important to you that you all were willing to give so much to make our great hall and our whole church a warm and welcoming place. Thank you for all that you've given to make that happen. It is really amazing. It is a blessing to be savored and celebrated. And you all made it happen. Don't forget what you're capable of accomplishing. And let's not stop there. Let's take the next step of using our new space to follow God's call to, yes, be fishers of people, to share with everyone the good news that we have found here in this community.